You know, Christ is described as coming at the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15, and we have tied the coming of Christ in with the Day of Trumpets, basically. The Day of Trumpets certainly seems to be a focus of the time of Christ's second coming. And if you take 3.5 years back from that, you come to around this kind of time of year, 3.5 years before Christ's return, if in fact he is going to return on the Day of Trumpets. But it is around this time of year, and we know that the sacrifices are going to be cut off, about 3.5 years before Christ's return, and therefore they're going to have to begin at some time. It can't really begin that much, with years. It's not going to be years and years that the sacrifices are going to remain. It's going to be a relatively short period of time. So the question is, if you look at actually what's going on today, because there are certain things that are going on today, the question is this really what we're watching for? There was an article that came through, this is from reporting about a man called Rabbi Ariel, and it's entitled Let Us Sacrifice on the Mount. This is coming through from last Thursday, this Thursday just passed. It says, Rav Yisrael Ariel says, Jews must carry out the laws commanded in the Peshach, a sacrifice, even though that's Passover sacrifice, even though the temple has not been rebuilt. The rabbi also took part in a practice session of the Pesach sacrifice conducted this week in Jerusalem. And they've been doing this for a while. They've been trying to get the Israeli authorities to let them on that mount to sacrifice the Passover. The reality in which the Temple Mount is in Arab hands must end, he said in an interview with Eretz Yeshiva on Wednesday. He says, they must open the gates for us. There is no argument that there is a duty to make the Peshach sacrifice, even if the temple is not built. So this is a case that the temple may not be built, but even so, they're wanting to go ahead and make the sacrifice. Rabbi Ariel calls upon the chief rabbis to demand the opening of the gates of the Temple Mount on Friday, the day of the Pesach, Seder, that's the Jewish Passover. Quote, they should make a formal request to the government of Israel to open the gates of the Temple Mount so that we can sacrifice. So they're obviously looking forward to the time that they will be sacrificing on the Temple Mount and offering the Passover sacrifice there. It says, everything is ready. There are clothes for the priests, an altar, and vessels. All they need is to open. We've asked the chief rabbi several times, but we've received no answer. Now, is that really what we're looking for? Imagine that they actually were given permission to go onto the Temple Mount and begin the sacrificing of the Passover sacrifice, the Pesach sacrifice. Is that really what we're watching for? And this is really what I want to ask today is what we see taking place what we actually are watching for? And the answer is no. The answer is no. If we turn over to Daniel chapter 12, and just remind ourselves, because there's a good chance that when these things do start coming together, that it could be around this time of year. Certainly the indication is, if we're looking at trumpets as the return of Christ, things are going to be happening, or you can guarantee things are going to be happening around the Passover season. But is this the case? As I say, it's not. If you turn to Daniel 12, and in verse 11, it says, notice, from the time that the daily sacrifices, it's not just a sacrifice, it's not just any old sacrifice, it's not the Passover sacrifice, it's the daily sacrifice, shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there'll be 1,290 days. That's 1,290 days from what it says in verse 13. It says, go your way, Daniel, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days. So the resurrection will take place at the end of the days that are being mentioned. Now, if we turn back to Daniel chapter 8, it's even more clear in Daniel chapter 8. If I keep a marker in Daniel 8 in that sense. But here in Daniel 8, notice in verse 13, it says, and I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint that spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolations to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said to me, unto 2,300, and it says days in the King James, but if you look at the margin reference, it's actually evenings and mornings. So that's 2,300 evenings and mornings, which is 1,150 days. So you've got 1,290 days over in Daniel chapter 12, and here it's saying that 1,150 days, it will be 1,290 days until the return of Christ, that they'll be cut off. And here it says that they'll be cut off for 1,150 days, or 2,300 evenings and mornings. So there's a period of time of 140 days at the end of it that they'll begin again and actually start the evening and morning sacrifices again. That's the indication. Between 140 days from them starting again the evening and morning sacrifices until Christ's return. So there's certainly many areas here that we can be looking at and thinking about in regard to what in fact will be coming. And he says unto me, 2,300 days, or 2,300 evenings and mornings, which is 1,150 days, and then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Now, if we turn back to Ezra chapter 3, and keep your hand here in Daniel 8, because we'll be turning back to Daniel 8 again. But in Ezra chapter 3, we'll see what happened previously when the sacrifices started under the time of Ezra. And here in the time of Ezra, in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, and when the seventh month was come, now the seventh month is the time of trumpets, okay, trumpets and tabernacles, and atonement take place in the seventh month. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem, and then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and the brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as is written in the law of Moses the man of God. So in the seventh month, they actually got together and they built the altar. And there was no temple actually built there at all. As it says in verse 6, it says, from the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings to the Eternal. So they obviously they got this temple, altar prepared in some way, beforehand, and it was just a case of bring it onto the site and slot it together. And they've actually done this already. They have an altar which they've constructed off-site already, and they can bring it together, and they put it together on the site, and that is already done today. So from the first day of the seventh month, that's the Feast of Trumpets now, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Eternal, but the foundation of the temple of the Eternal was not yet laid. So they don't have to build a temple to be offering service, sacrifices. And notice the timing here that is being mentioned. Now, you can put in your notes Numbers 28, verse 3 to 4. These evening and morning sacrifices, which were begun here, they were to be done continually. It was something that was to be done every single day. It was a lamb every morning and a lamb every evening that was actually offered. And so if you go back to Daniel 8 again, where I hope you had your finger or your marker or whatever, but we can see here in Daniel 8, let's just look at what it says in verse 23, because this entire prophecy in Daniel 8 is talking about the male goat and the ram, and how they fought one another in verse 5, notice. And it's talking about the Greco-Macedonian Empire that actually takes over from the Medes and the Persians. So the Medes and the Persians, therefore, were defeated, and the Greco-Macedonian Empire then took over. And it was from the four kingdoms that he actually became divided into. Antiochus Epiphanes actually arose. Now that was the type. Antiochus Epiphanes was the type of one that is going to arise, which is going to be known as the beast in the future. And that individual emerges from Antiochus Epiphanes into the beast power in verse 23 of Daniel chapter 8. And he says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding of dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. In other words, it's Satan who is behind this individual. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So he's going to cause persecution that actually come on the church. And also on Israel as well, and also on the Jewish nation as well. And through his policy also shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, And by peace, that's my reference of prosperity, actually, which is interesting. Again, you can tie this in with Revelation and what it says there about the merchants of the earth bemoaning the destruction of Babylon. So by prosperity shall he destroy many. And he, that's this antitype of Antiochus Epiphanes, shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Now, it's come right into the end time now, and you're looking at this particular individual. But he shall be broken without hand, without any human hand that he's talking about. So he'll be broken without hand. And the vision, notice, of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Now, death ties in with what it's saying in verse 14. It says, unto me, unto 2,300 evenings and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And so, when we're looking at this particular prophecy, and we see, in fact, what is going to come about, and the fact that the sacrifices are going to start, and then they're going to be taken away, it's not just any old sacrifice that we're looking for. It's the evening and morning sacrifices, the regular daily sacrifices that we're looking for. Now, the Passover sacrifice is very significant. If they can get that, then there's a good chance they can move on to evening and morning sacrifices. But at least, by looking at the prophecies that we have here, and by putting these various scriptures together, we should be able to see that, yes, this is significant as far as the Passover sacrifice and the pressure that's being put on there for them to allow that to actually take place. But the one that we're really looking for is the one which is given daily, evening and morning.